As was announced, the reading this evening will be from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9, 27.
Member of the congregation. We're going to continue tonight with our lesson from this morning, From Time to Eternity. And we emphasize this morning that we are living in the age of time. And so we recognize that during this particular age that two things happen that are inevitable. People are always going to be born and people are always going to die. And so that's just the way it is. And the question for us then, and really, obviously, the most important time of our existence is what happens between those two great events, between birth and between death. So this morning we began looking at it from the standpoint of birth. We said that we are all born on equal ground. We're all born innocently. But sadly, we discovered as well that we have all sinned. Romans 3 at verse 23, we recognize that there are no exceptions other than our Lord Jesus Christ. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as a result of that, that of course plunged us into the realm of darkness. And we became lost sinners at that particular point. Isaiah 59 tells us, verse 1 and 2, that separated us from God. And so we found ourselves in that miserable state of sin in darkness. But fortunately, we serve a God of great love, a God who was willing to sacrifice His one and only Son, John 3 at verse 16. He was willing to watch as His Son Jesus, after taking on a flesh and blood body, was willing to die, willing to be tortured on Calvary's cross. And God watched it all through the windows of heaven. And because of that, we see the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which we usually refer to as the facts of the gospel. And so we saw this morning then, if you want to be rescued from this realm of darkness, you have to obey the gospel. Romans 1 at verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We look at how that is accomplished. An individual has to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized if he or she wants to be saved. We gave book, chapter, and verse for all of those steps. With the idea of hearing, we looked at John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. With believing, there's John 8 at verse 24, repentance, Luke chapter 13 and at verse 3, confession, Matthew 10 verses 31 and 32, and then of course baptism, Mark chapter 16 and at verse 16. And when an individual then is baptized, finishing those steps, he enters into the body of Christ where there is salvation. And you notice at that time that lost sinner is no longer a lost sinner, but he enters the body of Christ and now he is in a state of no condemnation, Romans 8 and at verse 1. And so he is translated from that realm of darkness to the kingdom of God, Colossians 1 and at verse 13. And so obviously if you're here tonight and you're outside of the ark of safety, you need to obey the gospel. The gospel is your only hope to be rescued from that realm of darkness. And so that is the most important thing that you can do on this side of death. But then comes death itself. And we recognize that's why obeying the gospel is so urgent. James tells us that life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And so it is critical that we do the right thing because death is inevitable. We just heard the passage read for us in Hebrews 9 at verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die. And so again, unless Jesus comes back first, all of us are going to experience that. We don't like talking about death. We don't like thinking about death. We wish sometimes we could change death, but we know we can't. We know by experience, we know by revelation that death is inevitable. Again, it is appointed unto man once to die. And so the question is, what comes next? What happens after death? And again, fortunately, we don't have to guess about that. We don't have to wonder about that. The Bible gives us the answer. And the answer is that we go into the Hadean realm. Hades has to do with the unseen realm of departed spirits. And everyone who dies goes into that place. And we'll discover that Hades is divided into two compartments. And you go, which part you go to depends on how you live your life now. So let's take a look at these things. First of all, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, and there we read about the portion of Hades that is referred to as Abraham's bosom, or referred to as paradise. In Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, we have the great story that Jesus tells here. Some people refer to it as a parable. It doesn't really matter because parables always teach the truth. And so in Luke chapter 16 and at verse 19, it says, "And there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores." And so here are two individuals who obviously their lives were almost total opposites from each other when they lived here on earth. But what we'll discover is what happened to them after death was also the very opposite. You notice with regard to Lazarus, this poor man. Verse 22 says, "The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side." That is the place, again, called paradise. And we realize that that is the very place that Jesus himself went to when he died. You might remember in Luke, the 23rd chapter, when Jesus was on the cross and surrounded by two thieves. Luke chapter 23, and notice what we discovered here about paradise. Luke chapter 23, and at verse 39, the Bible says, "One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him," that is Jesus, "saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" Now, what's interesting, if you read all of the Gospels on this, you find that in the beginning, both of these thieves were ridiculing Jesus. And so it's interesting that one of them repented. While he was on his cross, he, for whatever reason, had a change of heart. And so, you know, you stop and you think about that. That's one of those situations where you would say, "Whew, that was a close call." I mean, he was on the brink of death. He had hours to live, and he had a change of heart. Now he understands, believes who Jesus is. And he condemns the other thief. And he asked Jesus in verse 42, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was a Jew, after all, had a misunderstanding about the kingdom, but that's another story for another time. And he said to him, that is, Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me where? In paradise. That's Abraham's side or Abraham's bosom. We know exactly where Jesus went when he died because of the first gospel sermon that was preached in Acts, the second chapter. Turn with me over there just for a moment. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, of course, is preaching this sermon that centers around the resurrection of Christ. At verse 22 of Acts chapter 2, it says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Why? Listen, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. Down at verse 31, it says, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So we know what happened to Jesus when he died. His body went to an earthly tomb, but his soul went to the Hadean realm. And obviously, he went to the part of comfort, the part of paradise. And the thief would be with him on that day. That was his promise. Now, what we discover is that's what happens to every single person who is prepared when they face death. Everyone who hears, believes, repents, confesses, and is baptized and is ushered into the kingdom of God, and those who live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10, they end up in Abraham's bosom. And it's a place of comfort. If you go back to Luke chapter 16, you notice a little bit later on in the passage, in verse 25, Abraham is talking to the rich man and he says, but Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here. And that's the state of every person who dies in Christ. If you have a loved one who you have lost, no matter who it is, it might be a mother or a father, it might be a son or a daughter, it might be a brother or sister, might be a close friend you grew up with, might be a brother or sister in Christ, they all go to the same place, the Hadean realm, and it's a place of comfort. And thank God for that. That's why we as Christians can rejoice. That's why John said in Revelation, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Because when you die, you're ushered into the Hadean realm, Abraham's side, paradise, where you're in comfort immediately. And we don't have to wonder about that. And we don't have to worry about that. If someone, now when it comes down to our loved ones, we can have confidence. Don't torture your mind wondering, well, I wonder if they're really okay. Of course they're okay. They're better than okay. They're better than they've ever been before. Better than anything we have ever experienced. Can we be sure? Yes. Have they obeyed the gospel of Christ? Now listen. I understand we're just human beings. Is it possible that somebody, even someone we love, has lived some kind of a double life? Yeah, that's possible. But it's very, very rare. Like most of you know, those who you love and are closest to, you know them. And yeah, it does happen when people deceive others and they have a totally different life. Their family doesn't know anything about it. But that is very, 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 very rare, really. And so when you think about those who have gone on before us, you can rejoice You'll sorrow for yourself, and you should be, but you can rejoice for them because they are in comfort. And again, don't let the devil fool you. When you think about that loved one, you may think, I'm just not sure that he or she was good enough. Well, you could be sure that they weren't. That's why the Bible talks about being saved by grace. You don't have to stop and torture yourself. Well, I just don't know if they, of course, as long as they were in the kingdom and faithful unto death, did they have faults and flaws? Of course they did. We all do. We all fall short of the glory of God. There are no sinless people here tonight. We don't have to be sinless. We have to be faithful. When we sin, then we repent of that and we're right back on track. And so we need to trust in the grace of God. The Bible talks to us about it over and over and over again. We just have to believe it. We can look forward to death. Paul did. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part. Why? He knew he was going to be with Christ. Not a might or a maybe. It's a sure thing. And thank God for that. It's all about His mercy and His grace and His loving kindness. But there is another side. There are those who do not obey the gospel. And there might be some here, even now, who haven't obeyed the gospel. What's going to happen after death? The second compartment is a place of torment. It's called Tartarus. That's where the rich man went. At verse 23 of Luke chapter 16, it says, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. You die outside of Christ. Not having obeyed the gospel. What a shame that is. How easy it is to obey the gospel. God is not asking a lot from us at all. Just wants you to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Follow those steps that we see on the screen. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And then living by His Word, which, by the way, is best for us. All you got to do. Just do the impossible. You just have to serve God and your benefit now and you'll have eternal life later. But if you refuse to do that, you'll be in the same state as the rich man. You'll be in torment. Describes it as a place of flames. It is a foretaste of Gehenna itself. And why would you want to be in that situation when it's altogether avoidable? But once you die, it's too late. At verse 26, it says, and beside this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. There are no second chances. If you want to escape that place of flames, if you want to escape the eternal death and hell itself, Gehenna hell, you have to obey the gospel because once you die, your fate is absolutely sealed. There's no escaping it. And after this period of time, of course, then will come the end. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 24 says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God the Father. You see, you want to be translated into that kingdom. The kingdom will be ultimately delivered to the Father. If you're not in the kingdom, that means you didn't obey the gospel of Christ and you'll be in torment. And what's going to happen at the end? First of all, there's going to be a resurrection. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5 just for a moment. In John the 5th chapter, we discovered that everyone is going to be raised from the dead. At verse 28, it says, do not marvel at this, For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs, there will be no exceptions to this. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. That day is coming, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to be a resurrection that is going to be followed by the judgment. Romans chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, or verses 10 through 12, rather. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 10. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. They all talk about a day of judgment. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us. And we'll get a verdict at that time. We'll get exactly what we deserve according to the stipulations of the gospel. Either you obey the gospel or you don't. But we're all going to have to give an answer. People can mock God right now. People can say, I don't want to obey the gospel. I'm going to live my life and do my own thing. I don't believe in Jesus. You can come to any conclusion you want to, but there's going to come a day when you are standing before Jesus. He will have eyes of fire, piercing view. He will be able to look deep into the crevices of your heart and soul. He'll know everything about you. There won't be any mistake made. He'll know it all, and you'll be judged accordingly. That day is coming. And after that, there's going to be eternity. And the fortunate thing is, again, if you obey the gospel of Christ, if you are in the kingdom now, then when death comes, you'll enter into Abraham's bosom, and at the God-appointed time, you'll enter into eternity. Time, as we know it, will be no more. And you will have eternal life. In that day of judgment, you'll hear the words of Jesus, come unto me, you blessed, inherit the kingdom of my Father. Those are sweet words that you should want to hear. But again, there's another side of it. Those who don't obey the gospel, they'll end up in Tartarus, and at the God-appointed time, they, of course, will end up in that place called hell. That's the lake of fire, Gehenna. They will hear the words, depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those are the options that we all have. We start on the same playing field. And it's fair every step of the way. God doesn't make us sin, we choose to sin. But then he gives us a way out. Either you take it or you don't. Either you obey the gospel of Christ and you are saved and end up in paradise and ultimately in heaven. A place where there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death. Or you are stubborn, you determined, you're not going to obey the gospel. You're going to do your own thing, live your own life, have your own way. And you're going to die. And everything, as you see on the right part, the right side of the chart after death, that is all out of your control. Things are going to happen that are set in place with each and every one of us. These are things we can't change. We have no power over it. It's a done deal. On the left side of the chart, all of that with regard to obeying the gospel, that's in your power. You can do something about that. You can prepare for death right now. But this is the only time you can do it. When death comes, that's it. No second chances. No do-overs. Your fate will be set. What will you do from time to eternity? The Bible gives us the answer. The time we're born to the time we die, and after that, what takes place? You have control of it. Will you obey the gospel tonight? Will you put yourself in the ark of safety? Live by the promises of God, the grace of God, be saved and be blessed immediately when you die, be in a place of comfort and await your eternal home in heaven? Or will the lake of fire be your destiny? It's all up to you. You need to decide. as soon as possible. I hope you will. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? You know what you have to do. Why not do it this very night as we together stand and sing?